Hello, you're listening to... Hello, this is Dale from Broken Hands, and you're listening to today's Boondongle with the Bailey and Domain Cleveland Radio. And I have to say, Boondoggle is like the most rad thing I've ever heard in my life, so enjoy yourselves.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio. I just wanted to take a minute in this little intro before the intro to give you an update on some of the things we got going on here at today's Boondoggle. And we recently launched a email account, so if you have any questions, suggestions, or comments, you're enjoying the show, you want to see something different, you want to see certain guests on the show, you can reach us at todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. And as you know, the coronavirus lockdown has hit a lot of us financially. Boondoggle didn't escape it either. And if you want to support us financially so we can get you these interviews that you enjoy each week, you can donate to our GoFundMe. There's you get on GoFundMe, look up today's Boondoggle. We got a GoFundMe that will be ongoing. And as well as a Venmo, you can donate. If you use Venmo, go to Venmo, Domain, or today's Boondoggle. And then also there's our Anchor sponsorship on the Anchor app, anchor.fm. Look up today's Boondoggle and you can become a monthly sponsor to us there. As you know, this is a veteran-owned and operated program we got going on here. It's very been, man, incredibly therapeutic for a guy like myself who, you know, is a veteran with PTSD and anxiety. Just gets me out there talking with people and gets me out of my comfort zone. And it's been awesome. But it all costs us, you know, the travel, accommodations, to get to these interviews that you want to hear. So if you can help out anyway, we truly appreciate it. Also, please follow us on social media. It's at Today's Boondoggle. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just please follow, subscribe, comment. Download the episodes. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you know, any of the programs that you use to listen to your podcast. Please do whatever you can to support us, and hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.
Today's episode of Domain Cleveland Radio was sponsored in part by RTSC Training. Do you want to train like a champion?
Yes, Sensei.
Then visit RTSCtraining.com for information on programs and training. Train like a champion today.
Yes, Sensei.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio. And today I'm pretty excited about this interview I'm about to bring you. We are sitting here at the reopened RTSC training facility, and I have the one and only Devontae King Cage Smith of the UFC here with me. And we're going to kind of catch up and see what's been going on. But how you doing, man?
Feeling good. You know, like you said, the reopening, to I'm happy. We finally get to, you know, work out and, like, get back in shape, because 2 months ago, it wasn't this hard. Now it's like, I can't breathe. I know Ray, he seemed to quit. He made it a little easier for us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I kind of got to know you before the whole COVID shutdown, seeing you up here, you know, training at the same facility and everything. And we had talked about getting together and doing this, so now everything's back on, and here we are, so... I'm glad we get to sit down and talk and get to know you a little bit. So I wanted to get a little bit of a background for the virtual audience out there that may not be familiar with you.
Where'd you grow up? Well, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. St. Clair. We moved around a lot. You know, we went from hood to hood to hood until we moved to our first suburb in Lakewood. Went to Hope Academy West. Graduated there, then went to Bedford High School. Wrestled for 4 years. That was my first love. And right after that, soon after high school, I jumped straight into MMA.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. So, but I mean, as a kid, before MMA and all that, do you remember like what you originally wanted to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a car designer.
Yeah?
Yeah, I wanted to be a car designer. I used to draw cars a lot, and I just always thought it was cool to, you know, to see my creation driving around. But
you could have been like Elon Musk or something, right?
Yeah. Not that at all. Yeah, I could have been Elon Musk. But I guess, you know, after that, I wanted to be a car dealer. Then once I got older, I wanted to be an NBA player. I wanted to play basketball.
Okay.
But like I said, when I went to high school and I started wrestling, that changed my whole mentality. I said, nah, I want to fight.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah. I did a little bit of that in high school, too. Definitely nothing like, you know, I mean, there's a big difference between team sports where you got people that count on, but then when there's that one-on-one aspect, that's what drives and creates you to be dependent, self-dependent.
Yeah, know? And that was the biggest thing for me was, if I'm working super hard and doing everything I could do, you know what I'm saying, to for that match, if I lose, it's on me. It's not because Henry didn't do his push-ups or didn't work the drills and blah, blah, blah. It's all on me. And I used to hate, you know, hate is a strong word. So I didn't like watching football. And you'll see some players like, They work hard, but they don't get the dub because the other players were just not as good, you know? Mm-hmm. So that can, like, really make somebody not want to do something, you know? Like, why even try?
We had a little bit of that, like, in boot camp and stuff. If somebody wasn't pulling their weight in the company, they had these little things called blanket parties that kind of motivate them. You know?
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, I'm like, okay, what's a blanket party? What's that?
Sometimes, you know, you ever see Full Metal Jacket?
Uh-uh. Probably have.
Okay. There's a part when they're in boot camp and then everybody kind of like puts like a bar of soap in the pillowcase.
Oh, okay, you know, yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Like, private pile, pick it up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll push somebody to work harder.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So then you're saying, you know, you wrestled in high school. How was wrestling for you? How'd you take that on? I mean,
I wanted to, I started wrestling because my older brother, he was a wrestler. Mm-hmm. He went to Euclid and I went to Bedford and we thought that would be a cool, like, clash of the brothers, you know what I'm saying? He was bigger than me, but so I just go against his teammates. But, like I said, wrestling was like my first love. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. Like, this MMA stuff, it got its moments, but it's not as hard as wrestling. Wrestling broke me so many times. My freshman year, I think I was like 9 and 12. Didn't get it. I didn't really get wrestling too much, but I just liked the, you know, I could be aggressive. 10th grade year, I think I was like, I don't know, still in the single digits and double digits to the losses. Junior year, I think I was like 35 and 5. And senior year, I was about the same. Like I just took off.
Yeah, put in the work, discovered that something clicked, and you discovered the love, and that was it.
Yeah, puberty started hitting, so stress started coming in.
Yeah. So did you have, like, a coach that you look back at that you feel like really helped, you know, mold you a little bit? Back
like for wrestling or for MMA?
First for wrestling.
Oh, yeah, I got a couple coaches. I got positive coaches and I got negative coaches that I can look back and even though they were negative, some of them were negative, they still built me to be where I am now. So it's like, I'm thankful, but then it's like, bro, you know, and
every day's a learning experience.
Exactly.
So either it's like, it's going to be a positive of how to be or how not to be.
Right. You know, and it's, you know, I took it as, you know, growth, you know, hardening of myself to become a better person, a better athlete, a, you know, better man. And, you know, wrestling was hard, man. Like right now it's hot, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I've, out of the 4 years of me being in high school, we used to go to different schools. Our wrestling room was the only room that was ever, like, they turned the heat up. Sometimes you would actually see heat waves, and you would work harder so you could sweat, because there were, like, vents. Like, on the long way, there were, like, vents. And as soon as you start sweating, you'll run over the vents to get that cool sensation. Mm. When the coach turned around, so I don't know, turn up, you're the best around. And, oh, my gosh, you do not like that song, because we listen to it so much. He'll turn around, we'll, like, go by the back door, like, he didn't try to breathe out the outside door. But, you know, it was a great experience. You know, I'm thankful to all my coaches, you know, whether positive or negative, because it pushed me to be where I am now.
Yeah, know? Exactly. And then you said you went from wrestling to MMA.
Yeah.
Was there any other, form of martial arts that you took on first? Or
I was young, maybe like 7 or 8. I was in a camp, a summer camp, and they had and one of the classes was Taekwondo.
Okay.
You know, so I thought that was pretty cool. You know, I learned some cool kicks. Don't think their blocking techniques will work for me now, but it was still just like, you know, a cool jump into the martial arts world, because as a child I used to watch Ninja Turtles,
yeah.
X-Men, Power Rangers was a big thing for me, Street Sharks, Bruce Lee movies.
Oh, yeah.
I love fighting games. Like, I like RPGs too, but fighting games is like, you beat the game, you can still fight. You can still play the game over and over again, and, you know, you get to go against other people. So, but yeah.
And so then MMA, transition into MMA, like, where did you first start discovering that and then, you know, deciding you wanted to train? And
I was 14 years old. Me and my older brother, we used to watch Pride a lot.
Okay.
We used to watch Pride and UFC. And I don't know if it was just a highlight or it was an actual fight, but I seen this video of Quentin Rampage. I don't know who he was going against, but the dude had him in a triangle choke, and Rampage picked him up, slammed him, knocked him out, and won. And for whatever odd reason, the thought popped up of my head, like, I can do that. At 14, I'm like, I can do that. And, you know, that's where I started my journey. And just, like, I went.
So I was playing it.
Yeah. At 14, I'm telling you. At 14, I planned it. Like, wrestling was, you know, a base. Just something to start off with, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Even they knew that I wanted to be a fighter. I actually got my first fight name from high school. It was Johnny Cage.
Johnny Cage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And then, you know, what was the process for you then? You know, you had, I mean, you know, you're in the UFC now. I mean, that, how was that process, and what do they, like, look for, and, like, what kind of, like, name you have to build, like, on the independents or something like that to get to that level? What's that process like?
I feel like, and it's just a personal opinion, I feel like it gets to a point where it's either you winning a lot and you selling tickets, and, like, you know, you selling tickets, especially when you're not on the big level, because you got to have some way to be seen, or you just connected to somebody. And my way in was me being connected to somebody, because I was knocking people out left and right,
yeah.
You know. And my,
with lefts and rights.
Yeah, right. And, like, my last guy before I actually got on the Contender Series, he was a UFC veteran, you know. I forgot his name. I suck with names. I be chopping people's names up, but I'll DM you later. Like,
okay.
Oh, this was his name.
Okay.
But he was a UFC vet, black belt. His thing was guillotines and all that. Knocked him out, still no cause. Because the manager that I was with, I feel like he was just more so talk. He didn't really, he wasn't as connected as he was.
Yeah.
But I dropped him and went with another managing company. And, you know, right away, the first thing he did was get me on the Contender Series, you know. So, like, again, it's like you either winning and selling tickets or you connected to somebody. Because right now the only way in is through the Contender Series or, like, this whole COVID thing. Like, you know, they just calling people in. So you just got to be ready.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm unfamiliar, and for others that are out there, what is the Contender Series? What's that?
Contender Series is pretty much you fight in front of a very, very, very small crowd. It's pretty much nobody there. In front of Dana White, Sean Shelby, that's one of the matchmakers. There's another guy, but I don't know his name. But you're pretty much fighting in front of Dana White and competing to get that contract. And there's times where people win.
It's kind of like the Ultimate Fighter, but like
that. Yeah, but it's just faster. It's faster. You ain't got to do it for 6 weeks. Yeah. And there's sometimes people win and they still don't get the contract. So you got to go in there and you got to win, you know. And that's what I did with the elbows to the side of the head, you know. And I guess because he was like a big name for whatever reason, I took him out.
Yeah, I know. I would watch Ultimate Fighter, I know like Dana was always big on knockouts. Mm-hmm. You know, he just like if it went to the judge's decision, he was just like, I'm not that impressed.
You know?
So he had to go in there and make sure you impressed him. And then, I mean, it seems like a lot of people in UFC now too, that personality might play a role too. They look for personality, like how you are. And I've seen some of your stuff and know your personality, so I'm sure that helped build that up and everything. So you go through the Contender Series and you win your bout, and then they give you a contract
First off, they pay you a lot more, you know what I'm saying, when you're not used to like getting paid more than $1,000 for fights, but they pretty much give you a contract, and you know, you just pretty much set up when it's time to actually be in the UFC and fighting in front of all the fans.
Okay, what weight class are you considered?
Lightweight, 155.
Okay, and then you've been on a couple of the pay-per-views now so far. Which ones?
I should have came prepared. Okay, I fought on my first official UFC fight was the 25 year anniversary in Denver.
Okay.
That was that. I fought, I forgot the dude's name, man. I just know I hit him with a bing bing, you know, the one and the two, and he went out. That was the preliminaries. And then I fought on a card with Israel Adesanya versus Anderson Silva. I was not the co-main event, but before the main card, the prelims.
Yeah.
I think I was the co-main or the main event on the prelims, and I won that by knockout first round. And then I fought, was it Florida or Cali? I think it was Cali. Then I fought in Cali against a close friend, and I lost. So, you know.
I saw the one from Australia.
Yeah.
Or something you did. Yeah. You got to fight out there, too. Yeah. So, has there been a lot of travel opportunities?
Yes, man. I mean, yes.
That's a place I've always wanted to go. And even my time in the Navy, I was on the East Coast, so I was in Westpac. Westpac gets to go to Australia, but, man, it's on my list. Did you get to do any sightseeing, or was it all just business over there?
So we were in Melbourne, right? Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Forgive me, everybody. I fight for a living. So it was beautiful. First, the plane ride sucked. I did not like that. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, dude. I was in, not econ. What's the seats where you not first class?
Yeah, yeah. Just behind first class?
No. A little further. A little further back.
But the ones that are tight.
Oh, my gosh, bro. Like, I didn't know.
No room and
none. No.
It's like 20 hours plus or something.
Yeah, it's 16, 20 hours. And
that's when you want your like CBD endorsements or something, just to knock out.
Yeah. And like, because, you know, my coach, Mark Montoya, was like, all right, listen, so first time being in the air this long, you got to drink plenty of water because you swell up in the air. And I'm like, swell? I'm like, I don't think I want to go no more if I'm like swelling. And, I drank so much water on that plane flight, and good thing that the bathroom was like right there. So I was consistently just using the bathroom. It was extremely uncomfortable. Like they had movies.
Sucks if you're like a window seat. Excuse me.
Oh my gosh, it was mad. But when we finally landed, it was just a whole different environment. And to this day, it's, you know, it was one of my favorite places that I ever went. The hotel that they had us in was gorgeous, bro. It had, the rooms were beautiful. They had so many things connected to the hotel that you thought this was a mall after a while. Like, man, am I in a mall? Like, what's this? Everything was super expensive. It was a Chinese holiday, so it was very festival. It had a lot of things to do. We went to the zoo. Still, even in Australia, the zoo sucks, you know. It was hot, I was hungry, but we were trying to pass time. But after that, it was just more so just business, you know, how to do it, how to, you know, get my mind to where I needed to be. And after I got the dub, man, it was just sightseeing. They had like these dragons, stones or whatever, right outside the hotel that just shoot like big balls of flames at nighttime.
Nice.
They had rats. Oh my gosh, I ain't never seen a rat before in my life. It was me and my teammates, man. We would start screaming, like, girl, like, for real. We was like, it made my skin crawl because they just roam around. Like, I guess it's just, that's their deer, you know, out there. Yeah. Went to the beach, seen jellyfish. It was just a whole different environment. You should go. It was beautiful, bro. It was beautiful.
On my list. I mean, well, and that's great. Then you got stories to bring home to the family, mm-hmm. and everything like that. I mean, you know, I mean, I got to see a lot of, you know, great places of the world in my time in the Navy, and then some not so great. But I would rather go and enjoy, you know, get that opportunity. So I wanted to ask you too, like, what's like your most important focus when you're training for a fight? What do you like? Workout wise and conditioning wise, what do you try and focus on the most when you're getting ready?
Cardio.
Yeah.
You know, because the way my mind works, my body got to keep up. You know, so if my hypothetically, I wouldn't do this, but hypothetically, if my mind says throw 100 punches nonstop, my body has to keep up. Mm-hmm. And for my body to keep up, that cardio got to be there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to like physical strength, I got that naturally, plus it's natural to build, especially the way they train you out there.
Yeah. And then your typical routine, what would you say that looks like for you?
Out there in Colorado or out here in Cleveland?
Both.
Okay. Cleveland, that means I ain't really doing too much. Like, I ain't got a fight set up. You know, I train 3 times a week, working out, eating what I want, enjoying life. When I'm out there in Colorado, it's strict. Sometimes I fall off, but it's hard to fall off because I really have no other reason to be down there in Colorado other than train.
Yeah.
So it's really like,
wake up. You got all the accountability around you, I'm sure, too.
Yeah. Right? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Mark Montoya will. He'll call you like, where you? Am I allowed to cuss?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He'd be like, where the fuck you at, motherfucker? Like, you need to get in and shit. Like, he hold you accountable. So, but it is a very strict, you know, let's say I'm up by 8, got to get to practice about like 9:45. Don't get there at 10, because that's when training starts. We train from on Monday from 10 to 12. And then we get the rest of the day off until 6. Then it's MMA practice. Tuesday, same thing, but it's from 10, instead of 10 from 12, it's 10 to 11. And then from 11, we go to the strength and conditioning spot out Landau's, and that's from 11 to 12. And then we got the rest of the day off until 6. Or was it 5:30? I think it was 5:30, yeah. They're going to look at me crazy. For jiu-jitsu, Wednesday, you get off. Thursday, you work out from 11 to 12, and then you off from all the way till 5:30 because the more jujitsu. Friday is sparring. Saturday is I think it was like 9 to 10 or 9 to 12, but that was like light sparring, light work, you know, just keeping your mind fresh. Sunday you get a day off, but it's like, you just so tired from like, and it's consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. There's no stop.
I mean, I've seen some of what you do here in Cleveland, and that, you know, I'm just like, that blows my mind. So then this is like easy compared to over there.
Man, because like, the altitude.
Oh,
right,
yeah, yeah.
Bro, that is not a joke. Because I didn't know you were in the Navy. Have you ever like felt that like being up there?
Yeah. And I've been to Colorado.
Okay, cool. So you know. Yeah. You know. That altitude ain't no joke.
I mean, yeah. I mean, just like hiking, you know, mm-hmm. just hiking up a hill or something like that. I know mm-hmm. how more winded I'd get. It's like, man, I know I'm out of shape.
From walking.
You know? Yeah. Just walking. Yeah. And then I know you just recovering from an injury. Mm-hmm. You know, when did that happen, and how long's what's the recovery process been like for you?
So it happened last year. If I had surgery November 21st, then it happened probably November 14th. I was sparring against my dude, Yusuf. He threw a flying knee. I backed up, and then right off the flying knee, he threw a head kick. I blocked it. All the weight went on my left ankle. It felt weird, but, you know, I was like, okay, whatever. I'm like waiting for the pressure to come off, and it just felt, and it felt like somebody bumped into me. Like, it felt like somebody bumped into me. I was in pain for like 10 minutes at the longest. And, you know, I'm like, I'm a MMA fighter, you know, pain.
No pain, no gain.
Right. Right. Yeah. But I'm like, okay, I'll be cool. I stood up. My whole body like wiggled. I'm like, oh no, I think something wrong, you know. And I'm just sitting down in disbelief, like, nah, I'm cool. And maybe I just twisted something. Nah, I'm cool. When I went to the doctor's emergency room that night, and again, I'm just telling myself, nah, I'm cool. Nah, because I ain't never felt this before. Nah, I'm cool. Like, stay positive. Then the doctor started talking about it might be ruptured, and I'm like, ruptured? Like, what you talking about? And I'm thinking she's just, you know, just giving an educated guess, but don't really know. And she squoze my calf. And I ain't gonna say I almost swung on her, but I almost swung on her because it was just a reaction because I felt pain. I'm like, what is that? And did the, not the x-ray, the MRI. Which one shows the muscles and tendons?
That's the, I think MRI.
MRI, yeah. Okay. Did that. Then she was like, yeah, I think your stuff messed up. They gave me a cast. Then I went to the doctor maybe a day or two. And they did another one, and it was like, yeah, it's like ruptured all the way through. And I'm like, what are you saying? And they were like, that's gonna be about between eight to 12 months, you know? And at first, man, that hurt, you know, cause I just came off of a loss. My nose been broken. A lot of things was going on at that time. I was going through a lot of stress, and then, you know, for that to be added on, like, shoot, I went to the house, sparked up, and I just cried, you know. I had to get it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, just in a dark room, didn't go too much to a dark place because I've been here before, but it's just different. And I had to come home, and, you know, I feel a lot better. I ain't get nothing but love from my family. You know, shout out to everybody, you know, my family. And I'm just staying focused on rebuilding and getting back there.
And then how was your, your UFC team and your trainers? How'd they react?
They were, I'm not going to say shocked, more so like, dang. You know, like, you know, that's just kind of how I took it. You know, like, they felt bad. You know, they you know, they call every now and then to check up on me, you know, see what's up. I keep in touch with a lot of my teammates out there in Colorado, FaceTime. My one dude, Brandon Royval, he's actually fighting this Saturday. I'm so proud of him, and I'm so happy for him because he good. He a 125er, and he got it. He got, so, you know, hey, I'm still supporting them from afar. They still support me. They still check up on me, so it ain't nothing but love.
Yeah, that's great. And then, like, what other obstacles have you had to overcome on this journey?
Learning how to walk again. I thought that was weird. You know, I've seen and heard stories about people getting in car accidents. You see those videos with the two poles, and they trying to learn how to walk.
Yeah.
And when I hear the words, learn how to walk. I always used to think, how do you forget how to walk? Like, how do you forget? But it's not that you forgot. It's more so like, for me, because it was a tendon, it just wasn't, nothing was firing. You know, no matter how much I told my foot to move, it would not move. No matter how like hard I would like push it, like move, it would not move. And through there, I had to come in acceptance with, I am not invincible, I'm a human being. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing, because I will take better care of myself, my body, you know, and make smarter choices, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, no, it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
I mean, with everything I just went through. So I'm learning that too. But, you know, I get the whole thing with the walking again too, because I've had, you know, some leg and ankle injuries and knee from my time in the service. And it's like, you know, when you ignore it, you kind of just, you keep going and just compensate, like, okay, I'm not going to put so much pressure on this one. But when you do that and you're putting more pressure on the other one, you know, then it throws like your gait off, they call it, and your spine. And, I mean, there's all, you just got to just admit you're a human.
Exactly. You know everybody want to push off.
Do things
off.
The right way.
Yes.
Because
you know?
Then you just make more things worse, you know.
People forget recovery and rest is also a part of training. You know, you're not a bitch. You're not soft. You're not sweet because you not feeling good and you want to take a break. And, you know, whether it's a day, 2 days, 3 days, or a week, you got to be smart because you only get one body. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Tell that to Ray. So, you know, speaking of all this, like, what do you do to train? I mean, because a lot of this is mental. I mean, Jordy, I mean, like you were saying earlier, your mind goes and you got to get your body, you know, to do where your mind takes you. But what do you do to train your mental game? Like,
I feel like for me, it's really been like more so just experiences with life. You know, like I said, wrestling is the hardest thing I've ever done, you know, because they didn't teach us the correct way to lose weight. And then we still growing boys, you know, so I was starving myself, you know, because I took wrestling serious, first love.
Yeah.
And I would starve myself. I would work hard in the heat. I would push myself to work harder than other people, even if they're faster than me, stronger than me. I used to wrestle grown men and beat them. And, you know, like I said, I had negative coaches too. And, you know, they were very unfair in a lot of situations. And a lot of times that broke me, you know. But it made me stronger and gave me a stronger mentality. You know, I broke my hand, you know, and I couldn't fight for a whole year. That broke me, but it made me stronger. I lost to somebody I was supposed to beat before I made it to the UFC. That's where I went to a dark place. I had too much on me. But that right there, that put me in such a like, it was just pitch black. But, you know, I'm cool now, you know, because I'm out of that hole, but I'm just so much stronger. And it's like, you know, me getting my nose broke, me tearing, rupturing my Achilles, is like, I'm not dead, still here.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, when you went to that, like, really dark place, what was it for you that, you know, pulled you out?
What was it? Let's see, because I still went to the gym, because that was the only way I can, like, you know, stay sane. Time and acceptance.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Acceptance, that's, I think, a big, big key. Like, I know one thing that's helped me through a lot of dark things, like, you know, I think I was telling you, I'm in recovery and stuff, and you know, it's like we say the serenity prayer, you know, accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and
okay,
willing to know the difference, you know, and the wisdom to know the difference. But acceptance is key, you know. I mean, we've had to accept this downtime that we just went through, you know, like, hey, we're not going to be able to do what we want to do at this moment. And, you know, a lot of people are saying we might not ever, but I can't accept.
Yeah.
You know? Like, let's get back into, you know, living our lives again.
Right.
But yeah, I think acceptance is huge for getting you know, out of those places. Accepting that, hey, this is beyond my control, but what I can control is how I react to things. You know, like Ray's got all these awesome sayings over there on the wall. You know, and definitely help in PMA. you know, is the one thing that he's helped me with, because I was always been like a negative person.
Yeah.
You know, my whole life. But that's why I wanted to ask, like, you know, what you do to strengthen those things, to, mm-hmm. to keep the positive attitude yeah. going, to keep pushing through, mm-hmm. because, you know, I've known coming to this place, and you've known from this place and the other places you train at, that the you know, the body's just like done, like, hey, mm-hmm. man, I'm done, but you got to get, you still got to push through, you know,
mm-hmm.
the mind wants to.
But the body can't.
Yeah, yeah. And just, you know, and I agree with, like, the days of rest. But while you're here, you know, like, there's days, I'm sure, you know, plenty of days it's like, man, I don't feel like getting up and coming mm-hmm. here. But then, you know, for me, it's just like, that's why I was asking the question. Like, for me, it's just like, okay, then I ain't just going to go. But, no, I have to,
mm-hmm.
you know. So what do you do to push yourself, to motivate you to?
So you know your body, right?
Yeah.
So you knowing your body, and you knowing yourself, and this is when you got to be true to yourself. You know the difference between, all right, I'm just a little sore, you know, or I'm real sore, but you'll be cool. And mm-hmm. the difference between that and, like, I think something is wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's days you sore, but that ain't nothing but lactic acid, you know, in your system. Once you get the workout in, you cool. You probably can't bench press that 250, but you can still bench press 200. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you waking up and you just move your arm and it don't feel like a sore, it feel like a, like, you just don't feel right, you know? If you're that unsure, then take a day off. See how you feel. And then especially if you're not, I don't want to say especially if you're not like an athlete, you know, because everybody wants to push themselves. So it's just like, you know. So if you're telling yourself, oh, I'm sore, I'm not going to go to the gym today because I'm sore or I'm super sore. But the next day, you didn't go to the gym. The next day, you still didn't go to the gym. The next day, that's just you being lazy.
Because
you have to, it sound crazy, you got to suffer. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You have to suffer. You want abs? You got to suffer. You want better cardio? You got to suffer. You want to get stronger? You got to suffer. It's the acceptance of that pain, that acceptance of understanding that in the future, whether it's a month, 2 months, 3 months, it becomes more tolerable, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, because like I said, before the corona, I was hitting these push-ups like nothing. And then it was like, we was working out for like 2-3 months, and I seen the size. Like, I'm like, dang, I'm just doing push-ups. Like, it's like, seriously, I'm just like, yeah, so, you know, today I'm going to, but now, so when things start to get dark, starts to burn, starts to hurt, or I get that quit feeling, because everybody get that quit feeling, that's when I start telling myself, go to that dark place, go into the hurt, go into the burn, go into the pain, because today, you went into the pain for 2 minutes. You still alive, you still here.
Mm.
The next day or the next week, you do 5 minutes now, because it's more tolerable.
Yeah.
You still get more used to it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when you keep that type of mentality, you know, you understand that everything isn't instant gratification, and a lot of things take time. You know, exactly, it just takes time. It takes time.
Yeah, you know, and I was thinking too while you're saying that, you know, how, you know, ego and pride can be an enemy of us too, that we have to defeat big time, because, you know, if you don't listen to your body,
yeah,
and you keep pushing because it's like, you know, oh, well, what are these guys going to think about me?
Yeah.
You know, I got to compete with, you know, I know me coming in here with a bunch of trained athletes, you know, and I'm just trying to get healthy and, you know, prolong my life and be around to walk my daughters down the aisle, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, I was coming in here, you know, and I was doing pretty good before Corona, and finally Ray got me to a place where I could finally start rolling, learning jiu-jitsu, and I'm still, you know, have a long way to go with all that. But, you know, then, you know, the Corona stuff happened, and I was trying to do, like, some training at home to keep up, but I know, you know, I knew, like, I have awful cardio. My cardio, you know, is a long, you know, I know the difference between, like, all right, I'm really out of shape and I'm sucking wind.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I was getting this thing where it was just like, it felt like a boot on my chest,
mm.
you know, like somebody was stepping on my chest. Mm. And I'm like, okay, this don't feel like just my out of
exactly.
shape. I had to listen to this. Yeah. You know? And I didn't at first, and I kept coming, you know, I kept doing my workouts and trying to just push through it. But then everybody's talking on, you know, about Corona and trouble breathing and having, you know, in your lungs. So then I got scared thinking it was that. And thank God, like I said, I went and I got it checked out and found out I had that blockage. You know?
Ooh, yeah.
So, you know, so now it's like, it was just my, you know, this has been like a reminder to reset and, you know, listen to your body and where you need to, where you're at. And
if you don't mind me saying, like, I feel like you can't worry about what everybody else thinks. I know everybody says the same thing. It's very cliche, but I can give you like a really quick example. You know how coaches be like, let's say it's me versus you and we on the rowers and you got Ray yelling at you, not in a bad way, but to inspire you, like, come on, Devontae's beating you. Come on, Devontae's beating you. That's when you have to cut Ray out. It sounds like a dick move, but hear me out. So it was me versus Marcus, and we was on a rower, and Marcus was oosh, oosh, oosh. But I wasn't focused on Marcus. I was focused on my technique, my breathing, and what I'm doing. And Ray was like, oh, he's beating you, he's beating you. I heard it, but then I cut him off. I just focused on what I was doing, focusing on my technique, focusing on my force and what I'm doing. And at the end of that round, I went further than Marcus did. You know, when I started focusing on Marcus, oh, he is going faster than me. Let me go faster. Now, my stamina getting messed up because I'm fucking up my own tempo. Yeah, but when I'm staying on mine, you know, I know when I'm going to pick it up. It's not like I'm moving slow, but I'm different. I'm not focused on him. You know what I'm saying?
I get that, too, because one of my biggest problems that Ray always has to correct me when I'm in here working out is just like, I'm too worried about when the timer is going to go off and when it's time to go to the next workout that I'm not focusing on just simple thing of breathing properly.
Exactly.
And he's like, breathe, Bill. He's got to remind me to breathe. And that's no good for the cardio or heart. I'm making things worse on myself because I'm too focused on the wrong things instead of just like, okay, focus on my, my breathing, my routine,
left,
and what I'm
right,
doing.
Left, right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Gotcha. So we were just talking a little bit about training here, you know, what things are like at RTSC. How do you like, you know, when you come here training with Ray? What's that been like for you?
I love it here. You know, Ray's a really cool guy. You know, he does a lot, you know, and I got a lot of respect for him because of it. He tries to kill us. I just, you know. But he's a good dude all around.
He gives a shit.
Yeah.
You know? He seems, you know, it's a tough love, you know, I've noticed.
Yeah, but he you know, he push you, you know. There's like, when I'm out there in Colorado working out, I mean, it's hard, especially because of that altitude. But I don't know what it is, man. When I come here to Cleveland and I come to the RTSC, you know, I feel like I'm about to die. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, I can't breathe. Like, what is this? What are you doing to me? Like, you know, but it makes me stronger and it makes me better, you know?
Yeah. Like, he'll see the potential in you that sometimes you don't see in yourself.
Yeah.
I know, speaking for myself, you know, and he uses that and I'm grateful, man. I'm the type of person that needs that accountability.
Yeah.
And I know, like, we talked a little bit before the Rona came around and put a damper on things. You had started training some of the kids here, doing MMA classes and stuff. And you looking to get it back into that?
Yeah.
These things are opening back up. And
we actually starting this Saturday. And I know the kids ain't been shadow boxing. And I know they haven't been training or, like, I don't think they've been worried about boxing or any MMA at all. So I know I'm about to be like, all right, jabs, man. We working on jabs and footwork. You know, they going to look at me like, what we did? Nah, yeah. Let me see you do it.
It's muscle memory.
Exactly.
It, you know? It's like you might remember doing it, but show me.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I'm going to be like, trash. Go over there by the track. Okay, you good. But you still got to do it if they doing it. You know what I'm saying? So.
But that's cool that, you know, you're helping the next generation and the future out, you know. Like, what kind of led you to wanting to start coaching?
I've always coached. I've coached kids before. I've been in corners for professional fights, amateur fights. I've held classes for adults. I've always done it, but you know, Ray needed some help, and you know, I thought it'd be a cool way to, you know, refresh my own mind, you know, by the bases and stuff like that. You know, you become a better teacher, and you gain more knowledge when you're teaching, you know, because if I don't know something and I feel like, dang, I should know this, you know what I'm saying, MMA fighter, UFC, you know, I'll go home and work on it. You know, like, what was it? And that makes me a better teacher, a better fighter and all that. So I see, like, I'm benefiting from it. Like, I'm benefiting them by helping them learn how to defend themselves, but I'm benefiting myself. So when I'm actually out there fighting and this and that, I be telling, oh, yeah, this is how you're supposed to throw the jab, because that's what I told the kids, because I'm giving them advanced, like, real stuff. This ain't like we here to have fun, but, you know, if you ever get into an altercation, it ain't gonna be a fun situation, so you need to take this serious. Have fun at the same time, but take this serious, because you learning real stuff. This isn't like I'm just holding pads and let you do whatever you do for the whole hour so I can go about my day. I take
it serious. One of those like people out there too that just like, you know, hey, take the parents' money and
I feel weird. I feel like
your name's behind it. Mm-hmm. You take pride in what you're teaching. I take like, a lot of pride. You're representing UFC all these kids. So yeah, no, I've seen you because I, you know. We're usually doing jiu-jitsu on the Saturdays that you're here, and it's man, if my girls were still young, I mean, I'm getting them into, you know, jiu-jitsu with Ray and stuff, but I wish I would have got them into stuff like what you're doing when they were younger and stuff, but you know, it's never too late. I mean, here I am now 47, so
yeah, you still here.
Yeah. So like, you know, if parents wanted to get their kids set up with your classes here, then they should just, you know, come here on a Saturday.
Yeah, to, hit Ray up to learn more about the classes. Like I said, Saturdays at 11 o'clock, and come in. You know, I'll teach you the. I always start off with the basics. You know, because basics. You know, they win fights. You know, I keep things simple until we get to the point where, okay, we can tweak this a little bit, make it a little funkier, a little bit more advanced. But right now, you got to know the ones and the twos.
Yeah. So, you know, you shared a lot of your story bringing you to the UFC and stuff. But along the way, I know, and we've talked about being in the dark place and tuning people out and stuff. But along the way, you know, how much have you had to deal with haters?
My haters usually came from my inner circle, which is crazy.
Yeah.
My haters usually come from an inner circle, which is weird because, you know, after I took my first loss in the UFC, I ain't even getting nothing but love. I can't be like, oh, y'all hating, y'all blah. Nah, I get nothing but love. The hate is usually from people that are in my circle, and my circle is really small because of that. I don't really take offense to it no more because, you know, in some ways, I feel bad for them because it's like, I know why, you know, you hate. You hate because, you know, I kept pushing and you didn't.
Yeah.
You know, you hate because you said all these negative things about me as a joke and I proved you wrong, you know, and you just got to sit there.
You took it, use it as fuel.
Yeah. You got to just sit there and watch me. You know, you got to sit there and just like, dang. You know, because we ain't talking no more, you know?
Yeah.
He's just like, dang, you know?
They're watching, though.
Yeah. You know,
they're still watching from afar.
Yep. You know,
but no, I get that. Like, I try and tell my daughters, it's like, okay, look around your circle. You know, what kind of people are they? What are they doing? Because that's usually how you're going to end up if you stay in that circle.
Yeah. Now, if you don't get that.
You know, if you want to, you know, you surround yourself with the type of people you want to be like.
Yeah.
You know? And, no, that's very, very true right there. So you dealt with that, and you just ended up tuning them out and just doing your thing or using it as fuel to motivate you?
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah, both.
So how has that affected the way you look at the world?
I look at the world for what it is, you know? Like, it's not a it is what it is. Like, If it walks like a duck, quack like a duck, it's a duck. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, if it looks red, it's red. You know, I call it for what it is, you know, and again, it's just acceptance. And then, you know, when you just accept it for what it is and move how you're supposed to move, you avoid a lot of drama, you avoid a lot of BS, and, you know, you avoid a lot of stress on yourself, you know, looking at it from a logical standpoint. You know, you being a logical person, looking at an illogical person, you're like, man, why they acting like this? Why they doing this? Why, like, because you being logical, like, you can't understand why they think that way. Oh, you know what I'm saying? And they just, you'll be in bed all night, you know, just like, man, why would you do that? And then they just going about their day. They ain't thinking about you in any way, shape, or form. And that's what I'm saying. When you just accept it for what they are and, like, understand. So if let's say a dude likes murdering people, I know it's an extreme one, but if you accept the guy as the murderer he is, you're gonna avoid him, right? Yeah, you know, yeah. You know, and it's like it's less stress on you because if you keep hanging around him, you'll be like, okay, is he gonna murder me next?
Well, maybe he can be redeemed.
Exactly. No.
It's like those exes that, like, yeah. Oh, I can change him. It's like my sponsor used that with one of my exes. It's like, you know, arguing with them is like arguing with a dementia patient. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just like, you just got to accept that that's how they are, man. And don't let it, because that would always be like my weakest thing. It'd pull me in, and I'd be like, why am I allowing her to pull me in?
And then even doing that, you thinking, why? Now you're looking at yourself as a logical, illogical person, and you know, you're crazy.
Yeah, you get gaslit, and then you're the one blowing up in public, yep. And then you're the crazy one, you know?
See? You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So I noticed you also got a clothing line going on.
Ten Toes, you know.
Ten Toes, and what got you to start that?
What really got me to start that? It started off, truthfully, to me, like, not as a joke, because I'd put a lot of work in that thing for me to call it a joke. But it started out small. I had a conversation with my coach one day. This is when we were, like, freshly, like, new. And, you know, I was out here in Cleveland. He was out in Colorado. I forgot what the conversation was. But he said something, and I'm like, Coach, I'm 10 toes. And I forgot what he said. I'm like, do you know what 10 toes mean? He was like, yeah, I know what 10 toes mean. And, you know, from there, I just, you know, started thinking about ideas. And, you know, I thought it would be cool to have my face, my ideas, my designs on shirts. I've always had shirts, but shirts and hoodies. But as I got older, I started working with, you know, the internet. Created my own website, got my own logo, and just been working from there and just learning. I've been doing it for about, like, I say, on and off, but so much more serious now, even before the corona thing. But it is taking off.
Downtime.
Yeah.
Other way to bring in some income.
Exactly. That too. And, you know, just get myself out there. You know, I guess it's not that I like fashion, but I just think it's, you know, if Nike could do it, why can't I?
Yeah.
You know,
they just do it too.
Man, I almost threw the mic. Exactly.
But, you know, and that got me thinking back too, where you talked about designing cars. So you've always had this artistic.
Yeah.
You
okay.
Know,
yeah.
It's another way for you to, you know, use that now through this type of design. So that's cool. You're still kind of, your stuff's out there.
Yeah.
Just, you know, not on four wheels.
Yeah, exactly. Or six. Most of my cars have six wheels.
Yeah. So, you know, people that want to support you during this time, like maybe buy some of your shirts and stuff like that, where would you send them?
Go to tentoes.store, tentoes.store. I got hoodies, I got hats, I got shirts. I'm in the process of making windbreakers, crop tops, leggings, some jujitsu stuff. I'm just putting myself all the way out there, you know,
cool.
And I'm excited. You know, I already see a lot of people have a lot of interest in it. And it's like, even if it's one sale, two sale, three sale, shoot, I was getting no sale, you know, so that was a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm just excited to see how far I can and will take it and just see where it goes from there.
Awesome. And do you have another fight lined up?
At the moment, no. You know, I really just been focused on just relaxing. You know, because I know once
still
it started.
Still kind of recovery.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, I just, I'm just enjoying this.
Now, do you have to do like a, you know, they have you do any kind of like testing to say, hey, he's back 100% for UFC or anything like that?
I got a couple of calls. They asking here and there, but I don't feel like I'm physically ready, you know, because there's all different types of, you know, MMA organizations, UFC, Bellator, ONE FC. And then after that, it's just it kind of starts to drop off. But UFC is the elite of the elite.
Yeah.
And this ain't, you know, a lot of people talk about Kobe Bryant tearing his his Achilles as well. This ain't basketball. Even though he moves, you got to move like this with your foot. Not taking nothing from that man, and may he rest in peace. But I'm about to be fighting.
Yeah.
With somebody's throwing knees, shins, knuckles, elbows, accidental headbutts. People be getting poked in the eye. I want to make sure, and like I said, I know my body. I want to make sure that when I'm in there, this is not a thought process.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I'm not caring what a doctor say. I'm not caring what my coaches say. I'm not caring what nobody's saying. It's what, for me, it's because this tears off and it's blown out. Only thing I get is a sorry and, you know, you had a great run. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I got you. All right, so I'm going to ask you some of the questions I ask my regular guests on here stuff. Now, you know, a lot of times when you're in here getting motivated, working out, I know you got music playing and stuff. Mm. Is there, and we talked about, like, you know, being in the dark times and stuff like that. Is there a particular song in life that you feel has inspired you in life? You know, we already talked about, you're the best.
Yeah.
I mean, is there something like that has pulled you out of like those dark times? Like a go-to?
I don't really have a go-to. I can say a go-to genre.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's more so like, it's weird. But like R&B, you know, we'll say like Trey Songz, Chris Brown, Sir. You got obviously Drake. You know, he's always going to be in there. But I like all types of music. I try to get into the country. I tried. Like, I actually tried. It just not my thing. But I don't know. Something,
I
mean, about
I can go for the women in attendance.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's like something about the R&B.
See why there's so much drinking, though.
Yeah, 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 bro. It's like something about, I don't know. I can actually admit I tried to get into country, you know, because I didn't want to just cut it off and not even try. Yeah, but it's just, I tried a couple of songs. I tried for a couple of months. It just wasn't my thing. I just, but something about just the melody of R&B, you know, just the melody of, like, you know, I guess love songs.
Yeah.
I like love songs. Like, sometimes I'll listen to rap, you know, I beat motherfuckers up and stuff like that. But I don't know, something about love songs make me just real chill and work out hard.
Awesome. And then do you have like a, is there a morning ritual or routine that you have like every day?
It was wake up, do constant push-ups until whatever song I put on is over, yoga for 30 minutes, and listen to nothing but motivational clips on YouTube, you know, on my TV. And as I'm listening to it, it'd be like 30 minutes to 45 minutes. Depends on like what is being said. I'm just stretching, rolling the ball out, getting like a real strong mentality, you know, and then do my exercises for my kicks. And then, you know what a bob is?
No.
But it's like a punching bag, but it's like a plastic dude that looks like the guy.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I spar bob for like a round or two, and then I start my day. Yeah. You know, that's all done by like 10 o'clock.
Oh, okay, nice. Can you name three people who've inspired you or you can credit for making you the person you are today?
Okay, dude, it could be family or it could be like fighters.
Anybody.
Anybody?
Yeah.
I'll say
one each or something or whatever.
My mom, obviously. My dad, he has given me a lot of wisdom. Let's see, a third person. I can really just give all the credit to them, but, you know, you know, for my thought process, I would say, you know, also Muhammad Ali, you know, I like Dana White, but I like him from his business aspect. I like 50 Cent from business aspect. It after my mom and my dad, and we'll say Muhammad, it kind of just goes from I just like the way they think. You know, I like the mentality of like the go-getter, you know, because when you look up, you know, The Last Dance, I don't know if you've been watching that. I haven't watched it yet, but I heard nothing but good news about it. So I'm gonna like, you know, finally sit down and watch it. But, you know, when it comes from the sport perspective, you know, just that mindset of like, go get it, you know, yourself, you know, you putting in the work, you doing what you got to do to get the dub, to get better, faster, stronger. You know, and you just being in your own head.
Yeah, so. And that goes back to what we were talking about with, you know, wrestling being that sport where you can't count on anybody else to get that win for you. You fail, it's on you.
You slammed on your head, that's your fault. Yeah, that's exactly. Your fault.
And then favorite toy as a child and why?
Oh, man, what was my favorite toy as a child? Okay, I'm not going to go for the easy one, say PlayStation or Xbox. I gotta think. Okay. What was a favorite?
Those don't count anyway.
I mean, right.
Something that you.
Yeah. I don't know. Make a stick and a rock. You know, just hitting rocks as far as I can. I liked riding my bike on ramps. Like we used to have my own little makeshift ramp. I think I had this move. I think I called it the Sky Rider. I make the ramp as like as vertical as I could, and I just and jump, and I just be in the air hovering. What's some toy, man? Basketball. Yeah,
like, I mean, I had like Star Wars figures. And
oh,
stuff
see, I
like
never
that,
do. Okay. You know? Oh well, no, because I'd be like, because those are my sisters. Yeah. Dang, I don't know. That is actually a really good question.
Yeah, like you talked about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles earlier. You didn't have any of them when
no,
you were a kid?
No, I had a Buzz Lightyear. I like to do it. Yeah, I used to play with. Hey, you got Chewie got me diving deep, bro. Dang, I just got on that. I just got Nostalgia. That Buzz Lightyear. I had a was it a Chucky or a Tommy from Rugrats?
Yeah, yeah, Tommy. Chucky was the killer.
Okay. I had one of them. I had a Street Shark toy. Dang, I'm remembering all of this now.
Yeah, man. It's like, you know, I always ask because it's like takes people back to like Christmases.
Yeah.
You
know,
you got that one. Like, I had this big Darth Vader. I was like, yeah. I got a picture posing next to it and everything and the photo album. He's cool, man.
I think I had a hockey table, too. My mom got us a hockey table for Christmas, and we used to be in the basement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was cool. One of the last interviews I had, they talked about, you remember that old, like, football game? It was, like, magnets on the thing, and it would, like, it turn on, it vibrate, and you'd have to try and make the player, like...
Oh, hey, see, you got to show me that. Yeah, you got to show me that one.
I forget what it... But yeah, and a couple guys had the old like Evel Knievel where they pull the thing and Evel Knievel goes and jumps the ramp and everything like that. But so that's one of my favorite questions to ask. All right, so we talked about wrestling. We talk about MMA. Do you have a favorite wrestler or MMA fighter?
Wrestler, when I was in high school, it was Alexander Karelin. If you know who that is, he's a Russian wrestler. Huge. I liked him for his, just him being big and just slamming big dudes. And he was like actually a big dude with technique. And you could just tell he was a hard worker. Jordan Burroughs, he just a monster. I don't know how he can take shots like he do wrestling-wise, not like getting punched. He could take a shot from like a referee's position and like it'd be like a hard one. Fighter, it varies, you know. It's kind of weird to say, but my mindset changed on favorite when I became one. Yeah. You know,
now you look at him in the mirror, right?
Exactly. And I feel like if I say my favorite MMA fighter is me, I feel like people see it as like arrogance, but nah, it's like I don't want to say I look up to somebody in a sense, like in the UFC, because it's like it's nothing against them, but it's like, I'm a UFC fighter too. So yeah. What makes you better than me? And, you know, maybe you got more wins
it's
than
me.
It's
your goal to be better.
Exactly. So my favorite is me. But people who inspire me that I like Demetrius Johnson. He raw. I like John Jones. He been iffy lately, but, you know, he's still getting the dubs. Yeah. I loved Anderson Silva. When he lost that first time, my stomach, bro. My girl thought it was funny. She thought it was funny. It wasn't funny. I was hurt. I like Jose Aldo, but I still like him.
You mentioned like Rampage was one of
the Yeah, I was talking. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Rampage. He was actually one of my first favorite fighters. So when I actually got to meet him in Cali, it was like, wow.
Cool.
Like, yeah, like I watched you on TV and now I'm taking a picture with you.
So you got to be Mr. T in the new A team.
Yeah. Like, dang, that's crazy.
Oh, man. Okay, well, we're getting ready to wrap up here, but any message that you have for our military members currently serving overseas?
Stay safe, be smart, and get home.
Awesome. And then, you know, like we were saying, if people wanted to learn more about you, where would you send them? Social media or, you know, you already got to mention your website for your clothing line and everything.
So follow me on Instagram at, all right, guys, get a pen. KOE underscore KING KAGE UFC. I got a blue check mark, so you know it's me.
Yeah, you're legit. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah, it was hard to find one, so I had to, you know what I'm saying, I had to come up with what I had to come up with.
And then one last thing before we wrap up here. Would you mind doing a promo ID for the radio show?
Promo ID, what's that?
That's when you introduce yourself and say, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Okay, so I introduced myself, and then you're listening to Today's
Boondoggle.
Okay, alright.
You know, like the Boondocks, but Boondoggle.
Okay, alright, cool. Yeah. When you said it the first time, I thought you were going to say Boondocks. Okay, Boondoggle. So what's up, everybody? It's Devontae Smith, a.k.a. King Cage, and you're listening to Boondoggle.
Today's Boondoggle.
Today's Boondoggle. What's up, everybody? It's Devontae Smith, a.k.a. King Cage, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Awesome. Yeah. Alright, thank you, man.
No problem.
It's been great, man. Getting to know you more.
Hello, and thanks for listening to Today's Boondoggle. And now, for your listening pleasure, Florence Whitingale presents his latest epoch.
You know it don't matter what you do or what you say. If she don't love you, there's no way. So maybe the next time you'll give your woman a little respect, or you'll be hearing her say, no way, no way. Making them scream and sigh as they unzipping. You fly, is your work in it? Full time slurping it. Hope you receiving sexual gazes, releasing them tigers from their cages. Rawr. Is your tantalizing it? Compartmentalizing it? Is your kissing on that ass? Wrapping you up like sassafras? Is your sticking it? Cold lip and licking it? Hope you flipping that ass like IHOP, got them screaming, making the eyes pop. All right, a motherfucker, all right. Now come on, what are you doing today? That'll better your tomorrow. We take that pussy you got right now and turn it into gold. I said, what are you doing today? That'll better your tomorrow. We take that pussy you got right now and turn it into gold. Oh, come on. You know it don't matter what you do or what you say. If she don't love you, there's no way. So maybe the next time you'll give your woman a little respect, or you'll be hearing her say, no way. Is your mackin' it? Is your smackin' it? Is she rubbing them crystal balls? Ooh, what's that moaning in the hall? Is she gripping it? You deep dipping it? You better be listening to my rapping so you can start some spinal tapping. All right, a motherfucker, all right. So come on, what are you doing today? That'll better your tomorrow. And take that pussy you got right now and turn it into gold. I said, what are you doing today? That'll better your tomorrow. We'll take that pussy you got right now and turn it into gold. Come on.
Coming home, and you know you want more, and coming soon you can find it at theflowwhiteshow.com. But for now, feel the flow exclusively here on today's
His brother-in-law was in the unit too, right? And we're down there in Little Creek, Virginia. We're staying at the Comfort Inn, right? And you're standing on the balcony, stark ass naked, and his wife's facing us.
I said, how's that vodka,
you're waving to us, no clothes on, right? And the wife's looking at facing opposite. Kelly's in stitches, and his brother or his brother-in-law was pissed, man.
Oh, you can carry.
He wanted to kick my ass, huh? I could, but not right now. I'm not trying to
know. Oh, man.
The good old days, man.
Well, you know,
they did order me a beer,
yeah.
And I grabbed it, and I'm like, I shouldn't even take a sip of this thing.
Jim Jr. liked it.
So I did good.
No, good boy, you're good.
Virgin Bloody Mary.
Oh, God. Oh, he's good when you get a virgin.
I'm still high today, shit, this morning.
It's the bloody thing I couldn't get over.
Hey, you get past it.
I ain't having them wings either.
Yeah.
Step over the police tape.
Someone's been shot.
A lot.
Who was that one that dude that was with us? And he like loved you. He was like a mini you. He was with us in that room too.
Man, that leaves it wide open.
Yeah. Everybody worships
like
too.
A zipper.
And thank you for listening to another story time from the VFW Hall, brought to you by Today's Boondoggle.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.